Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden, and in today's episode, we'll be discussing bearing the cross in parenthood. Now, this is the second half of a two-part discussion, and you can rewatch part one at ewtn.com/on-demand or on EWTN's YouTube channel. Now, my panelists have all had parts of their stories already featured on EWTN before. Lamar Hanna joins us from Michigan. He's accompanied his wife through her cancer journey into eternal life and now continues reaching souls through social media. Christy Kissel and her husband are raising three boys, two of whom have a rare skin disorder. Her oldest son has been leading the Divine Mercy Chaplet on social media, praying with people all over the world. Christy joins us from Ohio. And Kendra Tierney Norton is the founder and president of Catholic All Year. She was widowed in 2022 and is remarried and raising 14 children, and now has been rebuilding her family's life after most of her neighborhood was destroyed in the Altadena fires earlier this year. Thank you all for joining me. Now, Lamar, in part one, you had told us about your wife Jessica's cancer diagnosis, and we left off with you talking about when her cancer came back in late 2022. So when Jessica was hosting these videos on her Blessed by Cancer Instagram page, she really led the charge for people to cling to Jesus in the Eucharist, to go to confession, to amend their lives. And that wasn't just a front, but that was really the way that she lived her life behind the scenes as well. So tell us about Jessica's faith.
Yeah. behind the scenes, it was I'll give you just a typical evening, be with the kids about 6 o'clock, and at that time the kids were really young, and she said, Lamar, I really want to go to adoration and mass. She just finished dinner. She's like, can I just go real quick? And I'd say, absolutely. Sometimes it'd be 10 p.m. She'd say, can I go to adoration? I just feel like I have to go. And I'd say absolutely. Other times she'd want to do a post on her page, and it'd be 9 o'clock. It'd be like our time after we put the kids to bed. And I said, sure, you know. And as a husband, I wanted to support her as much as possible, because I could see how these things that she was doing was giving her the spiritual strength she needed to fight this battle. She really had a big devotion to Saint Therese of Lisieux, and one thing that I saw in Jessica really grow was her trust in God. You know, St. Therese, the Child of Jesus, in one of her writings says that what offends Jesus, what hurts his heart, is our lack of confidence in him. So Jessica read, I remember after she read St. Therese's book, she was really, really leaning into trust in God. And not only that, but trying to show it by example. So again, I did whatever I could to support her in making sure she had the time to do all of these things, because again, it was an up and down battle. I mean, it was up when we were down, and we had so many times where we got bad news, and so many times where she felt sick and she couldn't be present. But Jessica's thing was just keep going, like Christ on Calvary. And that's what I'm trying to do now. She really did inspire me for that, because I saw it firsthand, and other people saw it around the world. But I can tell you, just from being, you know, her spouse at that time, that it was truly something special happening that I was witnessing.
It really was. And I remember her battle cry was onward. And every time I hear that word, I think of Jessica and how she fought and how she persevered in faith and encouraged us to do the same. And now, Christy, having two sons with EB has been a really heavy cross for you to bear in parenthood. But how have you seen God at work in the midst of it?
Yes, there's been so many moments over the years, but I particularly remember a moment that I was having some second thoughts that I can't do this today, just feeling very weak. And I remember getting on my knees and crying out, lifting my hands up and just saying, I need you to do this for me today, Lord. Like, I want you to take over. I need you. And at that moment, it's like I left and the Holy Spirit entered. And when the couple hours were over, I remember recalling that I had prayed for that and looking back and thinking, what just happened? Like, I really did check out and the Holy Spirit did this. So, you know, when those moments happened, I wanted to shout it to the world because it was just so, it was so unique and so like out of human body experience almost. And that's when the moment knew, that's when, that was a moment that I knew that God's in this and I am not alone. Sorry. I'm not alone. He's here and I'm never going to feel like, he's not going to be there for us. I just have to ask. So there is so many ways that God has showed up, and it's especially through our community, you know, of friends and family and letting them help. When I finally let my walls down and let other people show up in our lives to want to be there for us, I also felt the consolation of God's love for us and the comfort that he wanted to give us and gift us. That was an amazing, amazing time. And I see it all the time. The other day, the nurse, I had a nurse, it's hard to find nurses. And one told me one day, yes, I can help you. And then that same day, a couple hours later, I get a message from my current nurse saying, I'm going to have to step back. And I was just amazed at how God has already shown up and I didn't have to worry. He's got us.
Amen. And that thread of confidence that I'm seeing, that the theme throughout all three of your stories is the trust in God, that even in these really difficult times where you feel as a mom, you want to take away the pain that your children have. And I feel that, and I have goosebumps all over me just thinking how humbling it is to recognize, God, I can't do this, but I know that you can. And your stories all are so inspiring because you have been there in the hardest and the darkest of moments, and you've given it all to God. And Kendra, in the last show, we talked about how your faith gave you that context for the suffering and that Jesus was in control while you were enduring this cancer. You said now famously, wait to worry. So you knew that everyone was going to die one day and you wanted to be prepared for death whenever it came. So what did that approach look like for your family?
Yeah, that's something that Jim would talk about, that it's a good thing to be aware of our death. There's a Catholic concept of memento mori that means remember your death. And the reason that we want to remember our death is because we want to be prepared for when that day comes. And that, you know, we know that we're all going to die, but a lot of us don't want to think about that. And we don't make it a point to live like we could die today. And so it was Jim's cancer diagnosis that I think really brought that to the forefront of our faith. There's a beautiful prayer to St. Joseph, who's the patron of a happy death, you know, and we would pray that prayer that we would all be granted a happy death. And I think it's a really cool, it's the Catholic Church is really good about picking patron saints for things. And the reason that St. Joseph is the patron of a happy death is because we see him in the early years of Jesus's life and then not when he's doing his public ministry. So it's understood that sometime between when Jesus is 12 and when he's 33 or 30, St. Joseph died. And therefore, you know, we can imagine that he died in the company of, in the arms of Jesus and Mary. And how could there be a better way to go than that? And so, you know, we had that focus on praying for that happy death.
Amen. And in part one, which I really hope people will go back and watch if you haven't seen it already, you discussed how your husband's last meal was the Eucharist. And that is so powerful. I have goosebumps again. I'm just going to have goosebumps the whole show. But your husband's last meal was the Eucharist. And we have to believe as Catholics that what the Church has told us in her wisdom and what Jesus has given us in his mercy, that we're going to be taken care of. And I have to say, Lamar, you and Kendra are such powerful witnesses to the duty of spouses preparing each other for heaven. So when you realize that Jessica could die, you wanted to do everything you could to help her be prepared. And how did you do that?
Yeah, so I touched on it a little bit earlier, but again, it was just playing a background supportive role. You know, it's funny that I'm carrying on her page now because she had wanted me to be on the on her page with her. But I said, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You keep going. And every, like I said, every little thing that she did in terms of, you know, encouraging her to stay close to the sacraments, anything I could do, any sacrifices I had to make for that to happen. Like, for example, on those nights where she would do a post or go to the adoration chapel, sure, I would have loved to hang out with her. But I knew that she needed that, her soul needed that more, you know, at that time. So I would have to forego time with her so that she can increase in her faith. And as we know, when one increases in their faith, that's how you increase in charity and love of God. You have to increase in your faith in order to increase in charity. And so that's exactly what happened with Jessica. She increased in her faith, in her knowledge of God through so many different books, movies. We'd watch saint movies together. They've got a lot on YouTube. We catechized their children together. Our lives really revolved around our faith during this journey. And it was pretty easy with Jessica because she naturally wanted to do it, right? She wanted, sometimes you see in marriages, there's a spouse that struggles to want to grow in their faith and the other one has to push them. I didn't have to push her at all. It was actually, she made my job easy, to be honest with you. But what I did do was, like I said, I had to sacrifice time and things that I would have wanted at many different stages in order for, like I said, for her to just keep giving her what she needed spiritually to keep this fight going. And I saw how much it benefited her when she would go to that extra daily mass, or when she would speak to a priest in her hospital room, or when she would make these posts, you know, these 1 hour lives on. And I saw too, it was helping people. So I said, hey, and sometimes, you know, she'd tell me, you know what, Lamar, even though you're not on this page, you're helping all these people who are growing close to their faith. You're a part of this because you're allowing me to do it. She told me many times this. And it really, now that I'm actually kind of running her page, I see it. And it's actually mind blowing. I didn't even realize at the time how massive what she was doing was, and how important it was, and how significant it was, especially in the economy of souls, and how many souls she brought to Christ. Like, when it's all said and done, it's going to be incredible to see what she actually did, because I still don't think I know the impact she's had. And same goes for me. People tell me, you know, you don't realize. You know, I think God keeps it that way to keep us humble, because I kind of don't want to know, you know. I just, God gives me this opportunity to share, I'll share. And that would be amazing if it can help people get closer in their faith. But being a spouse, being especially a man, a husband, where you, there's many times too during those dark days in the hospital when you get bad news, I had to often comfort her. I had to console her, but hold in a lot of what I had going on and take it to adoration directly. There was many times, thank God we had an adoration chapel 5 minutes from the hospital. I remember many times, 11 p.m., she would have such a hard time. I'd hug her, tell her goodbye. I'd go right to that adoration chapel, and that's where I'd let it out. I'd say, Lord, and all my intimate pains and struggles and my tears would be there at adoration, not in front of her, because I didn't want to add a little bit of extra anxiety to her. She knew I was suffering, but she didn't need to know the extent of what I was suffering. So that's another thing you could do as a spouse, and I'm sure Kendra can relate to this too. There are a lot of times where you have to forego even your own, sometimes your own emotions, in order to keep your spouse going and strong through that battle. And caregivers, any caregiver out there has to do this on a daily basis. So shout out to all caregivers who have, in my opinion, one of the toughest jobs in the world. Because as a widowed person now and as a caregiver, I can tell you that both were very difficult in different ways. And, you know, so my heart really goes out to caregivers who do this on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen. So you can see that that Jessica taught you so much, and she's continuing to teach us all lessons. Before we get too far away from the show, I wanna touch really quickly on Blessed Solanus Casey, Lamar, because you're from Michigan, not too far from where Blessed Solanus Casey is buried. So can you tell us a little bit about who Blessed Solanus Casey is and the impact that he had on Jessica and your family?
Yep. So Blessed Solanus Casey was an American Capuchin Franciscan friar. He was born in the late 1800s, died in 1957. He was actually beatified by the Catholic Church in 2017. There was a miraculous healing attributed to him. And so he's on his way to sainthood. The thing about Blessed, so his body's buried in Detroit, which Jessica's first treatments at the Henry Ford Cancer Center in Detroit were only about 5 minutes from there. So we had a very, you know, like I said before, she said, hey, Lamar, can you take me there after my chemo? So she'd be pregnant doing chemo, and then I take her to the Solanas Casey Center at St. Bonaventure in Detroit, where his body is buried and his tomb is there. And she would pray directly to him. And as she got to know him more, she realized, what I realized is, I think why she was drawn to him was because he was just, he served. You know, if you read about him, he was the porter at St. Bonaventure Monastery in Detroit for many years. He had the nickname the doorkeeper, and he was known for being very accessible to anybody, whether it was a homeless person, whether it was, and he tried his best to help as many people as he possibly could. Kind of reminds me a little bit of St. Padre Pio, how St. Padre Pio would be in the confessional for like 16 hours a day. Blessed Solanas Casey had a similar zeal for just helping people, and that's exactly what Jessica did in her, through her Blessed by Cancer page. She had a zeal similar to Blessed Solanas Casey for just reaching as many people as possible, and she didn't cease, you know, and that's how he was, if you read about him.
Amen. And he also told us to thank God ahead of time. And so she would say that in her live videos as well. Before she opened up the test results that she was about to share, she would say that we thank God ahead of time. And what a wonderful message to remember and to live by as well. Now, you know, Christy, we can see that family is so important for bearing these sufferings and bearing these crosses. So you have two sons who do have EB, but then your middle son, Charlie, does not. What role does he play in family life and in taking care of his brothers?
Yeah, Charlie is purposely placed, and I learned that through the years. He has brought so much joy. He's got a lot of energy ever since he was young, and the boys have energy, but they are limited. So he was kind of like the clown in the family. It brought so many joys and, you know, laughter, but as he got older, he still wanted to stay busy, and my husband and I decided to homeschool all three of the boys, so I was able to really instill in him the idea of we're here to serve, we're not to be served. So as he got older and we were going through hard days, he was there with us. You know, he walked with us. I just the other day, I was reflecting on how the simple things that he does is beautiful. He made Carson lunch the other day because I'm in the bandage room, you know, suffering and offering and praying. And he stepped in and was like, Carson, what do you want for lunch today? Just those simple things that you take for granted sometimes, but I look back and I say, he is so beautifully placed in this family to be able to be and walk with the boys during this journey. I just hope and pray it stays that way. You know, we're still on a long journey ahead of us, and just continuing to teach them to live for heaven. You know, let's just keep serving each other.
Amen. Amen. And I mentioned before that Carson is a very special young man. Charlie is a very special young man, too. And of course, Colby, your entire family really just suffering together and accompanying each other closer and closer to Jesus. And now, Kendra, someone who lost their spouse might have trouble imagining remarrying, but you have a really beautiful perspective on God's will working in people's lives. So please tell us about that and how you've continued responding to God's call for your vocation.
Yeah, I would say I hear that from people in real life and, you know, strangers on the internet. I can't imagine remarrying if I were to lose my husband. And I always say to them, that is good. Like, that is correct. You shouldn't be able to imagine it, because God doesn't give us resources, you know, he doesn't give us the understanding for all possible situations. You know, he gives us what we need for the situations that we're in. And when people ask me, you know, how did you decide to get married again? That's not what it felt like. What I decided, you know, was to be open to what God wanted in my life. And so the first step has to be discerning what your vocation is. And that's, you know, that's for anybody who's not decided on their vocation. And the vocation to marriage lasts until death, you know, parts you. And then you have to start all over on discerning what your vocation is. And we have the example of many great saints who were widowed and then went on to religious life. There will be people who are called to single life after a marriage. And then, of course, some people will find that they, again, have a vocation to marriage. So, you know, after some time when I started considering it, I really did feel like I thought that I had a vocation to marriage again. And if that's the case, then that's the way that God wants me to grow in holiness and to get into heaven. And that's what I want most of all, because I believe in my heart that that my husband Jim is there. So when I met John, it really felt like, you know, we had friends who introduced us, and it was surprising and beautiful in a lot of ways. He had been friends with Jim, but I didn't know him. He was at Jim's funeral. Our kids had gone to the same school and knew each other, but I didn't really know their family before. And so it has felt like Jim had a hand in this, and it's something that I'm really grateful that was part of God's plan for us. And, you know, so now I figure that, you know, it's gotta be pretty good. Pretty good if I can claim to, you know, hopefully have done what the goal of spouses is, which is to get each other to heaven. And I, you know, it's always just an exercise in hope, but I hope that I have done that. And now I hope that John and I can work on doing that with each other.
Amen. That's the ultimate goal as a spouse. And ultimately, your goal in your vocation is to get you to heaven, to get your spouse to heaven, to get others to heaven. And it is truly an awesome responsibility. And now, Lamar, I am really inspired by how all three of you have taken the sufferings and the crosses that you've been given, and you haven't turned in on yourselves. And instead, you've actually reached out and you've been helping each other carry their crosses too through your outreach, particularly on social media. So tell us, what advice would you give for someone who's watching right now who is dealing with a tremendous amount of suffering, they're dealing with a very heavy cross, and they're struggling in the day-to-day. Perhaps their parents, as you are, or their spouse is ill. What recommendation would you give them?
Yeah, so first step is to step out of this earthly perspective and step into an eternal perspective. And remind ourselves that our Catholic Church teaches us that God has an absolute will, which is for us to be in heaven one day. He wants each of us in heaven. And so in God's infinite wisdom, he understands that some of us need purging. Some of us need difficult times to take away some of our attachment to self and to purge ourselves while we're here on earth. You know, he doesn't directly will these things. He permits these things. And so so that we can be humbled and bring about a greater good. So that's the first step, is just stepping out of the worldly perspective and into the eternal perspective. And that's the spiritual side of it. On the practical side of it, you know, we can grow in our faith and our charity and our love of God. And that'll greatly help us in our suffering. You know, reading scripture is a part of it too. St. Paul in Romans 8:18 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed within us." And so a lot of times, that's one example. A lot of times in scripture, you'll find talked about the glory and the suffering, and how the glory often greatly outweighs that suffering. And it's so hard for us in our finite human brains to understand these things. But in my mind, I guess one of the fruits of going through intense suffering is that you better understand it. So when the hardest part for me was always initially adapting. So for example, when we were doing great in 2022, and we were on a roll and things were great, and I thought Jessica was healed, and all of a sudden she gets, in December, test results showing cancer's back. To me, that was the hardest point of adjusting back to that mindset, going from everything's great, and then all of a sudden you're gonna face a big cross again. And that was not just tough for me, tough for Jessica as well. We both, to be quite honest, I've shared this before in other interviews, we both questioned God at that point more than any other time, because we thought we were in the clear. We thought we had beat this thing and it came back. And I know most people, it's our human reaction initially to get upset, some people get angry with God. But what you want to do is gather yourself. You know, you can have a moment of being upset. You can have a moment of questioning, but the key is make sure it's just a moment and not your new attitude. You have to gather yourself, go to confession if you did get angry with God, and then you just have to pick up your cross. And that's really it. So, but again, everything I just mentioned, it all starts with really knowing our faith in the eternal perspective, and we are just here for such a short time. And we just have to always remind ourselves of that constantly. And it's way easier said than done.
It is, absolutely. And that's why we rely so heavily, not just on the teachings of the church and not just on the witness of others, but also the witness of the saints. So, Christy, our show's already starting to wind down. I can't believe it. But could you tell us some of the saints that your family has looked to for inspiration and for hope?
Yes. So one of our first saints that we were turned to is St. Padre Pio because of his stigmatas. Because of the wounds that he carried, and our boys have wounds. I also could relate because he, in one of the books that I read about him, he had a t-shirt that would stick, and that's often our cross as well, to wounds. So they would find his undershirts with stains on them. But yeah, and the some of the other saints are St. Faustina, St. Maximum Kolbe, St. John Paul II, the second. He was a big part of our formational change, my husband and I, between Carson and Charlie's life. And St. Therese of Lisieux, that's a favorite because she just loves simply. And I feel like I'm not doing anything major, you know, giving up a career, you feel less, and you're a stay-home mom, I'm a stay-home mom. And I oftentimes have to remind myself that doing those simple acts of love is probably the most powerful thing that I'm going to do. And she helped me remember that as I studied up on her. But yeah, those are some of our favorites that we lean on. And of course, our Blessed Lady, the Rosary, you know, those are in times of feeling uncertain. Just praying and calling out to the Holy Spirit through those saints' intercessory prayers, you don't feel alone. You just know that they're there, they're up in heaven, and they're praying with you, and they want good, just like God wants good for us, even in times where it's hard to see.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better myself. And so we just encourage you, if you're listening right now or watching right now and you're feeling the weight of that cross, that you absolutely are not alone. The church is with you, both the church in heaven and on earth. We are praying for you. The saints in heaven are praying for you. And also as a community of believers here on earth, we are praying for you as well. And what beautiful witnesses the three of you are. And so viewers, if you have been impacted by their stories and you want to share them with a friend, be sure to share a link to the full discussion, parts one and part two on EWTN's YouTube. You also can share the links with your friends to EWTN.com/on-demand. Lamar Hanna, Christy Kissel, and Kendra Tierney Norton, thank you so much for sharing your stories. And thank you for joining. We'll see you again next week right here on The Catholic Sphere.